In Galatians chapter 2 this morning, as we continue our study in this great book of the Bible, we're looking today at living the crucified life. Living the crucified life. The message this morning is a game changer. The message this morning will bring some of us to repentance. It will bring some of us to confirmation that I'm doing this the Bible way. But this message is going to impact all of us in one way or another today. This is one of those special sections of Scripture where we're either going to get on the train or we're going to continue to sit on the porch and watch it go by. And one day, Judgment Day is going to come, and we're going to wish that we had heeded the admonition of Scripture and have gotten on that gospel train and lived the crucified Christian life. That's what it's about this morning. Galatians chapter 2, we're in verses 17 through 21. Galatians chapter 2, verses 17 through 21. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for this passage of Scripture, which is so powerful and so strong. It is a key, a very important key to the Christian life. And this morning we need your help to focus on it and to pay attention to the Word of God and to forget what's going on out there. We ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to be speaking in every heart today and making the commitments and the decisions and the life-changing promises to you that we need to make. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me right now for this message. I need you to bring it. I hide behind the cross of Christ. I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to take this message and to bring it for us today, that we might grow, we might become more like you, that we might be what we need to be right now in this day, in this world. We thank you. We give you praise for what you will do, for we ask this in the powerful and blessed name of Jesus, our soon coming Savior. Amen. Living the crucified life. Our passage today takes us to the heart of what gospel-rooted living is all about. And that's where we must be living. The gospel-rooted life is described right here in this passage today. The gospel-rooted life takes the shape of the cross of Calvary. This is what our life has got to look like if we're going to live the crucified life and walk in the Spirit. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. And we're going to see in our passage of Scripture today that he could literally say that and mean it. And our job in our Christian life is to get to that point where we can say that and mean it. At the heart of the gospel-rooted life is cruciformity. Life in Christ is all about being crucified with Christ. There are many verses in our book of Galatians that talk about crucifixion. I'm not going to read all of them, but I am going to say where they are. Chapter 2, verses 19 through 21. Chapter 3, verses 1 and 13. Chapter 5, verses 11 and 24. Chapter 6, verses 12, 14, 17. Chapter 1, verse 4, and chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. As you can see, Paul is setting forth for us in this book the crucified life that we need to live. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect example of suffering persecution. And we as believers get the wrong idea about things. We get the wrong idea about our lives. We look at suffering as if that's bad. I must have sinned. I must have done something. No, we are partaking of the sufferings of Jesus Christ. And He suffered. And He promises us that we will go through those sufferings here on this earth as well. And so we need to hit that, not in a negative way, but a positive way, because we know that is what life is going to hold for us sometimes. We don't like to go there, but we're going to go there. And so from the crucified Christ, we springboard from that to Paul's own personal example of suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul sets himself forth as an example, and he could do that because he lived the crucified life. He was living it as he wrote this, and he was living that in the past. Living the crucified life means that you will take gospel risks in order to get other people saved. You have to take risks to get people saved. You have to say, I'm going to stop being scared. I'm going to stop stepping back from the opportunities that God gives me to tell someone about Jesus Christ. The crucified life is going to tell people. Paul was living the crucified life. We will take gospel risks. And if you truly live gospel-rooted, the crucified life, then your life will take the shape of the cross of Christ instead of the shape of me, myself, and I, which is our culture in which we live. We live in a narcissistic culture. It's all about me. It's what I want. It's what I'm doing. And don't get in my way. I want to do this. Lord Jesus, get out of the road. I don't have time for you now. I have something that I want to do. And these are my plans and my will and my wishes. That's the culture in which we live. And we have to be careful as Christians that we don't go to that lifestyle. That's a sinful lifestyle to tell Jesus, get out of my way. This is about me. This is about what I want. No, this is about Jesus, and this is about what He wants. Now listen carefully. If the gospel has taken root in your life, God will not allow you to be conformed to this world. You see, if you're willing to get on your ladder and climb up to the life that God wants you to live, then He will prevent you from going the wrong way. But if we don't ever make that commitment, you know, we're going to fall at any moment. We do not want to be conformed to the pattern of this world. Instead, God will transform you into the image of His Son so that your life increasingly looks like His. Romans 12:2 tells us, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This means that your life will look more and more like a crucifixion. sacrificially giving yourself for the sake of others. Cruciformity is the form it'll take. Conformity to the cross of Christ. Now that brings us to our first point this morning. Wrong ideas. Wrong ideas. We see in the text that we have for today here in Galatians chapter 2 verses 17 and 18. These folks here at Galatia had wrong ideas. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. What's Paul talking about here? Well, first of all, let me ask you a question. Have you ever had any wrong ideas? And when you find out what the truth is, don't you feel really silly? It's like, how in the world did I believe that story and it was wrong? Well, this is what the Galatian Jews were doing religiously. They had wrong ideas about the faith. And that is not where you want to have wrong ideas. But they did. Here's Paul dealing with the Galatian church, and they have some really wrong ideas. The problem was that the Jews, the Jewish Christians, were looking at the Gentile Christians with contempt. They called them sinners of the Gentiles, which we looked at before, and they despised them. They thought, this is the wrong idea they had, they thought that the Gentile Christians were worse sinners than they were. In other words, we Jews are better sinners. They are worse than we are. The Jews didn't like it that Paul lived among those Gentiles. They did not like that at all. They did not like the fact that he sat down at the table and enjoyed meals with these people who needed to be saved. And remember, we looked at Peter and his boondoggle at Antioch, where he was fellowshipping with the Gentiles, and as soon as the Judaizers came to town, he took his chair away from their table and sat down at the Jewish table. And Paul says, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. Oh my, Paul, you should not be eating with those terrible, terrible sinners. Well, the truth is, we're all the same kind of sinners. That's what the truth is. We're all guilty as charged. And we're all going to go to hell. Unless we acknowledge Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Everybody is the same. The Jews were implying that Paul's behavior, fellowshipping with and acting like a Gentile, makes Christ a servant or a minister, a proponent of sin. That's the idea that these people had. And Paul says, God forbid, Christ does not make us sinners. He does not. He is God. He is our Savior. If Paul would have withdrawn from table fellowship with the Gentiles like Peter did, he would have, in effect, done what the Scripture says here, rebuilt what Jesus died to tear down. And we must never go there. Namely, the dividing wall of hostility between Jews and Gentiles. Ephesians 2 and verse 14, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Paul is doing God's will. He is reaching the Gentiles with the gospel and they're being saved. In this town and the next town and the town after that and the town after that, and churches are started over here and over there and over there, and they're growing. and taken off for the Lord Jesus Christ. The law does not save. Jesus saves. Galatians 3:21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But we know that the law was a schoolmaster to teach us that we are sinners and to bring us to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, this morning, paying the price. Paying the price, verse 19 and the first part of 20. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Here we see Paul, the man who could really say that. Paul paid a price for the ministry. He paid a price to get the gospel to the Gentiles. The Jews accused him of violating the law, and then they would flog him with a whip or a stick. 2 Corinthians 11:24. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Well, let me stop right there. I wonder how many Christians in America would quit after the first slash. I'm done with this Jesus stuff. It hurts. We got to think about that. Verse 25, thrice I was beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. Paul paid the price for the gospel. You know what? We as believers, we should all be ashamed of ourselves for whining when we are inconvenienced just a little teeny weeny bit for the cause of Christ. We don't have a clue what Paul went through as he paid a price for the gospel, but the day might be coming very soon that we will understand and that we will get it literally across our backs or a bullet. That'd be a whole lot faster, wouldn't it? Paul paid a price for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul talks about his relationship to the law as marked by death. Galatians 2 and verse 19, for I through the law am dead to the law that I might live unto God. He paid the price for ministering to the Gentiles. Peter ran from table fellowship. Paul stood his ground right there, even if it meant more sacrifice, more suffering, another hostile crowd, and another beating. Paul stood his ground. He stayed at the table with the Gentiles. He didn't take his chair and go over there with the Jews. So Paul could say with real gospel-rooted conviction, I am crucified with Christ. He lived the crucified life. He too was put on trial. He too was put up on false charges. And like the Lord Jesus himself, he was punished over and over and over and over for preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. He was punished like Jesus was as a transgressor of the law. Galatians 2:19. Paul understood Matthew 10, 24. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. Days of Praise dealt with this week. I think it was in yesterday's. Need to read that if you haven't. Talks about that. If you are a follower of Christ, that is how it is. And unfortunately, if you are a true follower of Jesus Christ and live a gospel-rooted life, there will be carnal Christians who will potshot you all the time because they're embarrassed that they're not living the crucified life, that they're not doing the will of God, and they will shoot you because you are doing the will of God. Unfortunately, that is the truth. That is how it is if you live the crucified life. Don't be surprised if you suffer some mistreatment in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be surprised at that. We got a whole list of what Paul went through, right? I don't think any of us here this morning have even scratched the surface of Paul's suffering. I think the worst thing that's ever happened to me out in serving the Lord is somebody swore at me. They gave me the finger out the window. They slammed the door because they didn't want to hear about Jesus. That's about as worst I've experienced. I've never received one of these yet. I've never gotten a stick or a whip or any of that. Let us be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's where we need to go. There is a price to be paid for gospel ministry. Now, here's the good thing about that. Paying the price advances the gospel. What advances the gospel like the blood of the martyrs? It is the saving of nations and peoples. That is how it works. Don't be surprised if you suffer some persecution. Being conformed to the cross is a plus, not a minus. Listen, as a Christian, you got to always see the glass as half full, not half empty. It's always on the right side, the bright side, no matter what. God works powerfully through Christians who live the crucified life. Down through church history, we have book after book and chapter after chapter of those who've gone on before us who lived the crucified life. They stood up and they were in contact with the mob and they continued to push the gospel forward, and they kept it going back to those people who threw them out of town, and one day they were worn down and an awakening happened in that city and those people were won to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Violence is not going to stop the gospel. It's going to push it forward. We've got to remember the truth. People will be saved. Churches will be started. Countries will be changed. And finally, number three, living the Christian life, or living the life. Living the life, verse 20 and 21. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Like the great 18th century evangelist, the Apostle Paul stands fearlessly before mobs and their evil intent. Nothing they say or do slows him down. Gospel-rooted living marches the work of God forward. The Lord Jesus has been crucified, but He was resurrected from the dead. You see, those folks had the wrong idea. They put Him on a cross and they thought, we got Him now, He's done. But they didn't realize in 3 days He was coming out of that grave and He was going to be victorious forever and ever and ever. The gospel-rooted crucified life never ends in death. It always leads to the glorious dawn of the resurrection from the dead. Verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. That looks bad. But, nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Gospel-rooted living leads to a crucified life. Truth, fact, bottom line. You always experience a kind of death, a continual crucifixion with Christ, but that always leads to resurrection power. Always. Christ lives in us, in the form of His Holy Spirit. And we got to quit forgetting that and remember that and live like that. We live the process of crucifixion and resurrection power by faith in Jesus Christ. You see, you'll never be a soul winner if you go in the flesh. You're never going to open your mouth for Jesus if you walk in the flesh. But when you get it straight, you know what? This isn't me going out there. This is the Holy Spirit working in my heart, and He's going to give me the words to say, and He's going to prompt the verses that I need, and He's going to direct my conversation, and I'm going to go out there and confidently talk to people about Jesus Christ. That's the crucified life. We have to get the truth of the Word of God in here and in here. And we'll tear this town up for Jesus. That's how it works. If you will wrap your life around the life of Christ, He will live through you. A life that loves people and gives oneself for the salvation of others. It is the self-giving action of the Son of God that we have to live. He is not asking us to do anything that He hasn't already done. And you see, as the pastor, I have to be careful that I don't get up here and preach something that I'm not already doing. That makes me a hypocrite, an actor on the world stage. Living the gospel-rooted, crucified life, followed by resurrection power, is foreign to this world out here. They don't have a clue what that is. They know not Christ. They're not even started. They don't get it. But the sadness comes when many who profess to know the Lord do have no clue what a gospel-rooted Christian life is. Our culture preaches. Our culture preaches. It's all about you. It's what you need. It is what you want, and you need this shark cleaner. 3 payments of 1995. And then the next one, and you need this. This one's only $9.95. Oh, we'll double the offer. That's our culture. And you know what? It's so easy for us as believers to embrace that. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's easy to give in to that. And I'm not exempt. It's easy to listen to that and to start getting those wrong ideas in our hearts and our minds. Jesus' life took the shape of a cross, and so must ours. A crucified life loves people and their souls and gives itself to them that they might be saved. That's what it's all about. As we wrap this up in a conclusion, when I ask some questions. When people get a good look at you, do they see the cross of Christ? Is that what they see? Is your life conformed to the pattern of the cross or the pattern of the world? Now note, there's no middle ground. We're either cross or we're world. You are either enslaved to the world or enslaved to the cross. Luke 9:23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. May each and every single one of us here this morning live a gospel-rooted life, a crucified life, all to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this tremendous and challenging portion of Scripture. There's no way that we could have come here today and not been challenged by this set of verses. We see eternity before us. The day comes when we will work no more. The day comes when our judgment seat is sealed. There comes a day when we will not any longer be able to say John 3:16 to anybody. But right now we have life. We have health. We have strength. And we can do it. We need your help, Heavenly Father. We need the power of the Holy Spirit working in our hearts and lives today and every day. We ask that you will help us to follow hard after Jesus and after His cross. May we live truly the crucified Christian life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.